Hey guys, it's Carly. Welcome back to Mostly Balanced. I'm excited today to have another solo episode. Last week, we had Ilana Dunn on the podcast from Seeing Other People, and it was such a fun conversation. If you haven't listened, definitely go back and check it out. We talked all about Ilana's own dating history, so all the different dating patterns that she kind of broke before she met her current fiance. And we also talked about my dating history. And then we dove into a lot of listener questions. So like I said, go back and listen to it if you haven't yet. Today, I'm going to be answering more listener questions. And I'm also going to dive a little bit deeper into a few of the topics I've been posting about on Instagram. Before we get into that, just a reminder, I'm actually still running my giveaway right now. There are a lot of fun products that I'm going to be giving away. Just a lot of my favorite things, conversation decks, a few skincare products, this desktop humidifier I'm obsessed with. And it's really easy to enter. All you have to do is sign up for my newsletter, which is going out on Wednesdays. It's called Mostly Dating, and it's covering mostly dating. So it's really fun. I'm excited to be getting this up and going. It started last week, and it'll be continuing every week on Wednesday with different topics. And I'll also be answering listener reader questions in the newsletter as well. So as always, if you have a question that you want me to answer, whether on the podcast, on Instagram, or in the newsletter, you can send it to me over email. That's the best way. So you can email hello@wearemostlybalanced.com. I'm putting that in the show notes as well. So again, send all of your questions over email, hello@wearemostlybalanced.com. You can also message me on Instagram. It's just not as easy for me to sort through questions there in the DMs, but my handle is @mostlybalancedpodcast. If you ever can't find a post, or if you're wondering, if you follow me on Instagram and you're wondering, does she have a post on this topic? Like, I'm going on a third date. Does she have questions to ask on a third date? Or does she have things you should know by the end of a third date, which I'm going to be talking about in a few minutes? You can always DM me or ask me. Again, you can send an email and I'll send you that post. Most of the time I do have a post. Like, this is why I wish that Instagram had a search feature. And it's one of the reasons why I started the newsletter, because I just feel like I needed another medium, like another form of another way to interact with the community and another place to keep all this content and to house all this content and provide new content. On Instagram, it just like, it can get frustrating because I'll do a post and I'm like, oh, this is such valuable information. I'm so excited to share it. But then in just a few weeks, it's like all the way down in the bottom of my feed and you have to scroll through and you can't search through. Anyway, this is just a rant about why I'm starting the newsletter and a reminder that you can always reach out to me if you have a topic that you either want me to cover or you're curious if I've covered in the past. We also have almost 200 episodes. So a lot of the times, if there's a topic you're curious about, we probably have had a guest talk about it or we've had a solo episode about it. So happy to share those as well if you have any questions about episodes we've done in the past. But if you haven't signed up for the newsletter already, you can sign up with the link in the show notes. And all you have to do is put your email in and you'll also be entered into the giveaway, which I was going to end at the end of March, but I'm extending it for just one more week. So I'll be picking a winner a week from today and I'll announce it on Instagram and that person will be sent this box of, again, all of my favorite products. So very fun, very exciting, definitely more giveaways to come. So if you don't win this one, there'll be a chance in the future. And yeah, so today, before I get into the questions, I wanted to talk about, I've been sharing these posts on Instagram that have been, first of all, really fun for me to make. And second of all, like, one of the most requested topics that people ask about a lot is, what should you know by like certain points in the dating process or certain points in your relationship? So this kind of sparked because I posted a few months ago at this point, 5 things you should know by date 3. And then I was like, oh, let me know if I should do like date 5 and before defining the relationship, and then like 6 months in and all of that. And people were like, yes, please, please do it. And so I've been posting all of these like things you should know by this date. And so I wanted to like quickly talk about it, because the one thing that like I always caveat this content with is that I don't believe in timelines at all. And if you've been listening to the podcast since the start, or even if you've just been listening for a few months, a year, however long you've been listening, you will have heard me and my former co-host Mia talk about how we really, really don't believe in timelines. And it was always an interesting conversation that Mia and I had, because like for a lot of this podcast, when we first started, I was single. I was older than Mia and I was single, and she was in a serious relationship. She got engaged, she got married, all the whole time I was single. And we were both in our 30s. So I'm 34 now. And when she got engaged, I believe she was 30 or 31. She got married when she was 32, I think. So We have a lot of people who will ask questions that are like, oh my gosh, I'm 25 and I just broke up with my serious boyfriend and I just don't know what I'll do. Like, I'm so behind all of my friends. And like, I'm not saying that I've never felt that way before. Like, I've had certain maybe phases where I've been like, wow, everyone around me is getting engaged. Or like, wow, like my all, I'm the last one out of my sisters who isn't married yet. Like, I've had those thoughts before. But I think that like the biggest, the most like freeing thing in my dating life was realizing that there is no timeline. Like, there's no set amount of time that you should date someone before you move in with them, or a set amount of time you should date someone before you get engaged or before you get married. There's no set age you should get engaged at. There's no like age where you should start panicking that you don't have a boyfriend. Like, of course, like I hate that women do have, if you want to have kids, there are like biological things you have to think about. But even that like has changed so much. I know so many people who have had kids, and most of them have had them at much older ages than like our parents' generation did. And there's just like, there's just so many factors. So I just always like to caveat when I do this, like five things you should know by date three. It doesn't mean like if you don't know these things about this person or about how you feel about them, that like it's not meant to be or won't work out. It's just kind of like, if you don't know these things yet, these are conversation ideas and you could start learning them about them. So it also like, I think that it helps take the pressure off of really early dates, because for example, like a first date can be really overwhelming, especially if it's someone that you're really excited about. Like these days, people get more excited about somebody that they meet in person. So if you meet someone in person or it was a setup and you're like so excited, you might have all these things in your head, like I have to learn this and this, and I have to really like make him like me, and I have to make sure that this is going to work out. And I'm already starting to think about his last name and what it would sound like if it was my last name and our wedding and blah, blah, blah. And like how well we fit into each other's family lives and all of those things eventually do become considerations. But a first date is literally just to decide if you want a second date. That's all it is. So you should not concern yourself with if this person likes you. Of course, you're going to want to have fun and you're going to want to be nice to them and you're going to want to get to know them. But the reminder is that they're on the date because they are interested in you. So if anything, the first date should be like the easiest date that you ever have, because you already go into it knowing they want to be there. They're there because they're interested. You're there because you're interested. All you have to do is have a good time, get to know them a little bit, and don't worry about getting to know every little thing about them. Just worry about getting to know them well enough and feeling their vibe well enough to know if you want to continue getting to know them. So that's why I kind of like started this little series on Instagram at date three, because I think leading up to that, it's really just about like having fun and knowing if you want to get to know them better. So in terms of things that I think you should know by date three, I started by saying you should know what they're looking for. This is something that like you can know before your first date, and you can ask it on your first date, on your second date. But if you've been on three dates with this person, I think that that's the point when you really, really should know what they're looking for. And I honestly don't mean like what they're looking for with you, but just what are their dating intentions? Like, are they dating because they want to get married eventually? Are they dating because they want something casual? Are they just looking for a hookup? Like, these are things that you should know by the time you've been on a few dates with somebody. And the huge, huge thing here is that means that you need to know what you want. So I'm all about dating with intention and dating intentionally. And that's something that I talk about a lot. It's something that it's the reason why I created my whole dating planner, which I'll talk about a little bit more, I'm sure, in the future. But dating with intention, like the first step of that is knowing what you want. And so you should go into every dating scenario. You don't have to think like, am I going to marry this person? But you should go into it knowing like, I'm dating because I want to eventually get married. And that this is just somebody that I'm getting to know better. Maybe they'll be that person, maybe they won't. But at least you know like what you want out of the dating scenario long term. And so that's something that should come up on early dates. And if it doesn't, you can just ask, or you can voice what you're looking for and give them the space to tell you what they're looking for as well. A lot of times it's like on the dating app profile also. So in this post, I even referenced Bumble had a survey, and 73% of women said it's important that a potential partner is honest about their intentions up front. So if you're a man dating women and you're listening, like, you got to tell somebody what you're looking for from the start. It's not going to scare them away. And if it does scare them away, then it's the wrong person. And again, you don't have to say, I'm looking for you to be my wife. You can say, right now I'm dating intentionally. I want to get married eventually, and I'm looking for a serious relationship. And then just a couple other things that I think are important to know at that point by date three, you should know if you're excited to be around them. So this is something like you can just naturally feel. Like, are you excited when you're going on the date? A lot of times first dates, like you have to talk yourself into going on them. At least if you're anything like I was when I was dating, I didn't even want to go on my first date with my now boyfriend. Like, I almost canceled like an hour before, but I just had a policy that I could not cancel because I would never end up going on a date. But after that date, every date we went on, I was excited to go on. I was excited to see him. Once you actually met the person, you've been out with them before, you should know if you're excited to be around them, and also how you feel after you leave the date. Like, do you feel energized and excited about the next time you're going to talk to them or see them? Or do you feel anxious and like worried, like if you're ever going to hear from them again? I think that that's like a huge factor that can really give you some insights into like how this might play out and how you really feel about this person. You should also be starting to get an idea of what their lifestyle is like. So are they somebody who goes out a lot? Or are they somebody who stays in more? And that's just something that I think is important, because if you're going to date this person, you're going to be spending a lot of time with them, especially if you're dating for a serious relationship. So I think it's important to know if your lifestyles mesh or if like there's somewhere that you could meet in the middle. And then I also think, and then this is one that I've talked about in past episodes, so I won't dive too deep into it, but by date three is when you really should start to know what their values are. And one of the things I always talk about when I talk about learning someone's values is that like it starts with you knowing your own values. I've talked about that in recent episodes, so again, I won't dive too deep into it. But by date three, I think that some topics and some important issues should have come up that you'll have a sense of like what this person's core values are and whether they align with yours. And then the last one is just if you want to keep seeing them. So after every early date, that's going to be something that you should think about. Like, do I want to go on another date with them? Think back about what your dating intention is and whether this person and the way you feel around them aligns with that intention. And if you can see it going to the place that you want your dating life to go to. So then moving past date three, I think once you get into date five, moving into date six, that's when you really start to get to know them like on a little bit of a deeper level. So again, every single relationship is different and every timeline is different. I don't believe in a set timeline, but I do think that by date five, six, I think you should know a little bit. You should know all the things I just talked about date three, and you should still be considering them in your mind. But you should also know a little bit maybe about their relationship history. And this is one that I said was like potentially controversial, because I feel like some people are like so anti talking about past relationships. And I don't mean that you need like a entire rundown of their past relationship history and every person they've ever dated and why it ended and what happened and what their relationship was like. Like, you don't need to grill somebody and interview them on their past relationships, but I think you should kind of have an idea of what their most significant relationships were, if they had any. Maybe they haven't had a serious relationship, and that's something that you can know as well. Like, you should just know what the significant relationships that they've had, why they ended, and then like the biggest takeaway should be like, how do they talk about this relationship and how do they talk about that person and what do they learn from it? So again, you don't have to like interview them on this, but I think that you can learn a lot just from the way that somebody talks about their past relationships or their exes or people that they've dated in the past. If they're like trash talking their ex or they're talking about their relationship with like such anger and animosity, that's a red flag. It's not a red flag if they're like, oh, I don't really like talking about past relationships. That's fine. Respect that and move on. And maybe you guys will like turn over that stone down the road. But as long as they like say it in kind of like a mature way that shows that like they're not still A, hung up on their ex, or they're not like kind of emotionally unavailable to the point where they think everybody else is wrong and they're right. That's like, those are things you can really take away from just hearing how they talk about somebody or how they answer a question as simple as like, what was your most significant relationship, or how long was your longest relationship, or why did your last relationship end? You're allowed to ask those questions and they can come up naturally and you can ask it in like a casual way. But I think just like pay attention to the way they answer them. And then what are they passionate about? So this lines up with their values. You want to know if their passion and their values are similar to yours, but you don't have to have the exact same interests. So that's something that I've gotten a lot of questions on lately. And I wanted to go into that a little bit, because I have been talking a lot about values being aligned and your passion being aligned. So what I mean by that is that there has actually been research that shows that couples with similar values and similar traits have more stable and successful relationships. And those values are very different from interests. So personality traits and values are more like you value family, or you value trust, or you value openness, or you value determination. Like, those are, they're all different things that you live and breathe by, like, not to sound dramatic, but they kind of like are at the crux of everything you do. And I think it is really important. Like, if you have somebody who like really values timeliness and organization and like being on a schedule. And I kind of talked about this with Alessia when she was on the podcast. Like, she was talking about one of the reasons that her marriage ended. And this wasn't, of course, there was so much more to their marriage than she shared or like anybody could know. But one of the things she said was that she was such a yes person, that like she always would say yes to things, and she wanted to do different things, and she wanted to try new things and like step out of her comfort zone. And he was more of like a no person, more like logical and just kind of like wanting to stick with the way things were, is kind of like what I took away from it. And I think that that there is like an amazing example of them having different traits and values. is. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you're obsessed with going to the gym. I use this example a lot, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're obsessed with going to the gym. So they have to be obsessed with going to the gym too. But if going to the gym is your passion and that's like something that you like deeply love and it's like such a big part of you, health and fitness and all everything that encompasses, they should at least be supportive of that and they should understand it and they should show interest in like learning about it and supporting you through that passion and that like goal or whatever it is to you. But it doesn't have to be their main interest. Their main interest could be like, I don't know, investing and you could support them in that and learn more about that and show interest in that. All that's to say that you should be learning really a lot about what their passions and values are, but that doesn't mean that you guys have to be molding into the same person. And then another one that's a huge one that I feel like date five, date six, you should know this and it will tell you so much about them is who are the most important people in their life. So I honestly think like probably in most scenarios with people who are in like their late 20s, 30s, 40s and beyond, you might not have met their friends. Like you probably won't have. I don't know. Everybody's different, but you should still like start to kind of recognize their friends by name and you should start to have heard about the most important people to them. So that could be like a family member, a friend, like who do they call if they had a bad day or who do they like talk to the most? Like if you're a guy listening and your girlfriend is a big texter, who is she always texting? Like for me, I'm always texting Mia, my former co-host all day, every day. And my twin sister, Jordan, like we're always in contact. And if I was five dates in with somebody and I hadn't even mentioned either of them before, that would be kind of like a red flag that would show that I wasn't really like opening up to this person or wanting them to be more integrated in my life because I'm not even sharing like the two most important people that I talk to all day, every day. And so that goes like both ways. I definitely had started to hear more about the people that my boyfriend was closest with by this point as well. And then it just like also makes it easier when you meet them. So I think one of the questions I have today is about meeting friends or family. And so I'll get more into that then. But you can just tell a lot about somebody by the way they talk about their friends and the people they surround themselves with. So I think it's important that you've kind of quote met those people through like conversation in terms of like you just are aware of them and you know who they are. And then what would a relationship with them look like? This is huge. So I talked at date three about how you should know what their lifestyle is like, but now you've been on five or six dates, you should be able to picture like what a relationship with them would look like. And that does not mean, again, you're not picturing your wedding, you're not picturing your engagement ring or walking down the aisle towards this person. Maybe you are, but that's not what I mean. What I mean is, what does your day-to-day look like? Now is the time to really start to consider like if this person fits into your life, if they have a life that you feel like you want to fit into, and be honest about like whether that fits what you're looking for in a relationship and what you want long-term. I think it can be really easy to get caught up in like the moment and like not really think about these more mundane things about like you've been on like five great dates. They've taken you to all the coolest restaurants and bars and you're doing all these fun activities. Take a second and think about, I talked about this in the last solo episode, like what would a day just sitting on the couch with them look like? And can you picture that? Or what would a day like on vacation where it's just you guys and there's nobody else or nothing around, like, and you're just hanging out, like, is there a conversation? Is it flowing? What is it like? How do they spend their weekends? Do you fit into it? Do they fit into your weekend? Like, can you picture them around your friends and the most important people to you? I think those are really important things to start thinking about around date five or date six. And then, is there chemistry? I don't need to go down this road because we've talked about this so much, but by now you've seen this person in enough environments and situations and learned enough about them that you know if there's chemistry there. Again, spark and chemistry are different things, but date five, date six, you know if you're attracted to them, you know if they're the type of person that you will be attracted to, that you feel chemistry with, that you're excited to be around. All of these are important things to consider coming out of like date five, date six. That's a lot of dates, especially like if one person is paying for all of them. So if like the guy, if this is a male-female relationship and the guy is paying for all of these, I think that it's really important to just know where you're at and avoid going down the situationship, stringing someone along for too long road. And it makes you more confident. So like if you do feel like you know all of these things about somebody and you really like stop and think about them and you feel like, wow, I can see this person in my life, or like, wow, I feel like I'm really getting to know this person and they're really getting to know me. Like I can name the people that are closest to them. They know my closest people and I feel excited to see them. They're excited to plan dates with me. We feel this chemistry. Like I can picture life with them. I think that that will make you feel more confident when you then get into the defining the relationship conversation, which I do have, like I said, posts on what you should know by the time you're defining the relationship and then advice on how to do that. And I'll share those in the show notes, but I just wanted to go through like the date three, date five toward defining the relationship milestones, because I think that that can be such a confusing time for people. And I do post a lot of things about like questions to ask. And I think all that stuff is really helpful, but sometimes the most helpful thing is taking a step back and like taking stock of how you feel and what you know about this person and like what you want for the relationship moving forward. So hopefully that's helpful. If you like kind of like hearing me talk through some of those things, I can definitely talk through more of them in a future episode. Like I said, I have the post about what you should know before defining the relationship. And then I also have posts on 6 things you should know about your partner 6 months into a relationship and 12 things you should know 12 months into a relationship. And I love those posts. Like I feel like those are so fun because then you're in a relationship with them and it kind of shows that like you're always still getting to know somebody. It doesn't matter if you're 3 dates, 5 dates, 6 months, 12 months into a relationship, there's always things that you can be thinking about how you can get to know them better and how you can continue to get closer to that person. So I'm going to share all of those posts in the show notes below, but I just wanted to talk through them a little bit before getting into the listener questions, which I will do right now. So the first person said, I'm struggling so hard with online dating. I've had it for a while now, and I finally met a guy I am genuinely interested in and I like, and I'm finding myself spiraling. We've been on about 5 or 6 dates over the last 6 weeks and talk pretty consistently, and I'm craving to make it official, but I saw last week he updated his Hinge profile, and she put a crying emoji. And that was a stab in the gut, but there's been no talks yet about making it exclusive, so I can't be upset, and I don't want to mention to him that I saw that. How do I get myself out from spiraling and just go with the flow? I should mention that I have a daughter, so I do take things slower than the average person, I think. So I can't give him as much time as other women possibly can. And that's on my mind too. Okay. So thank you so much for sending in this question. I feel like so many people are going to relate to it, whether they're dating as a single parent or not. I think it's such a normal feeling to be having, especially about this point, like 5 or 6 dates in, which is really relevant since we just talked about all the things you could be thinking about and all the things you should know by that point. And this feels like you guys are like spot on. You said you've seen each other, you've been on 5 or 6 dates over the past 4 weeks, and you're talking pretty consistently. Like, first of all, 5 or 6 dates from a dating app is like a huge feat in itself. And I'm saying that like wholeheartedly. I was on the dating apps for years and I can count on, I think honestly, it was like 2 times on the dating app that I got to 5 or 6 dates with somebody. And one of those led to a serious relationship and the other one didn't. All that's to say, it's not easy to get to that point with somebody. So this person is interested in you. The fact that you're genuinely interested in them is just an exciting thing. They wouldn't be continuing to go out with you if they weren't interested. It's now just a matter of figuring out if what you're both interested in is aligned. And I think it's natural to start panicking a little, especially because you are starting to like them and you're not sure where they stand. But I first want to say that I totally, totally understand you like spiraling a little bit about him updating his Hinge profile, but I honestly think it means absolutely nothing. And I actually say that because I actually think I did update my Hinge profile like at this same point. Into dating, I think it was like a month into dating my boyfriend, I changed like a profile picture on Hinge. And that wasn't because I wasn't into him. I was super into him and I knew that I wanted to date him, but I also just was trying to kind of not put all of my energy into him. And we did eventually then soon after become exclusive. And then I deleted my Hinge, I think like before he even did, but it didn't mean anything about the way I felt about him. And I think that there's a very good possibility that this guy who you're dating could be feeling in a very similar way to how you feel. Like you said, you feel like you might not be giving him as much time as other women might be able to. I don't know like where that feeling is coming from, but it might be coming from maybe he's asked you out more times than you're able to go. And maybe he's wondering how you feel and he doesn't know. So maybe he's trying not to put all of his eggs in one basket, or he's just trying to like keep active on the dating app. Or maybe he's wondering if you're going to go look at his dating app profile and he wants to have a better picture on there. It literally could be anything. And I really, really don't think you should read into it. I think that until you talk about being exclusive or defining the relationship, obviously, and she's not saying he's doing anything wrong, but of course he's not doing anything wrong by changing it. But I do think that the fact that you're having these feelings is just an inkling and a reason to surface those conversations. So I don't know if by this point you have talked about what you're both looking for, but now is an amazing time to do that. Like I just said, when I was talking about things to know after date 5 or at date 6, knowing what somebody is looking for is super, super important. So I think that you could bring that up in like a number of different ways. I don't think you need to say like, and she even said like she doesn't want to bring up the fact that she saw that he changed his dating app profile. But I think you can, next time you're together, maybe casually say, I know we haven't talked about exclusivity yet, but I wanted to let you know that I'm reaching the point where I don't want to see other people. Or you can say, I wanted to let you know that I'm not seeing other people. However you want to phrase it, just kind of like bring it up, surface it by saying, I know you've recognizing the fact, I know we haven't talked about exclusivity yet. Or you can say, we haven't really talked about what we're both looking for, but I wanted you to know that I am looking for something serious and I've really been liking getting to know you and I don't think I want to see other people at this point. That can like feel really scary to get those words out, but as soon as those words come out of your mouth, he's going to react in whatever way he's going to react. And if this is somebody who is right for you, then he's going to react by telling you exactly where he's at and he'll do it in a respectful way. And then you guys will figure out like where you're at together. So he might respond by saying, I'm also dating, looking for something serious. I feel good about being exclusive. And then you guys will be exclusive. Or he might say like, I am still dating a few people, but I'm really liking getting to know you. And I do want something serious eventually. And that will be something you can think about. Do you want to continue seeing him until he's ready to be exclusive? Or is this something that you don't want to put energy into anymore if this guy isn't ready? I have an inkling that he is going to be ready. I think that 5 or 6 dates in, talking pretty consistently, the talk just needs to be had. Once it's had, you'll feel so much better. There also is always the option of just asking him, hey, are you still using the apps? Like you could say it casually. I feel like it's funny because sometimes when I give this advice, it sounds like it's kind of like when I post questions to ask on a date on Instagram and people are like, is this a job interview? This sounds like a job interview. Like, no, it doesn't have to. Yeah, it sounds like a job interview and I'm just listing them all in a post. But when you're a real living, breathing person sitting in front of another living, breathing person and you're asking them questions and they're answering you and asking questions back, and then the conversation is going to what's happening around you, and then you're going back and asking some more questions and they're asking you questions. It's a conversation. It's not an interview. So if it sounds scary to say, are you still using the apps? Just understand that that can be like weaved into a conversation. You guys could be like hanging out casually talking and you could ask them like, oh, are you still on Hinge? Or, oh, are you still swiping? Or you could flat out say, I want to be exclusive. How do you feel about that? All depends on like what your communication style is and how comfortable you feel with this person. But 5 or 6 dates in, you should definitely at least feel comfortable enough to tell them where you're at. Okay, so this is another longer question. This person said, I was dating this guy only about a month when out of the blue, he said he didn't think it was going to work out and he didn't want to waste my time. It came as a complete shock because we had been having a good time together, getting to know each other. Not really rushing into anything, but I was excited to see where it was going to go. And by all accounts, he seemed like he was too. When I asked him about what happened, he said that I didn't do anything wrong, that he was feeling a lot of stress, having a hard time with the DUI stuff he was going through. I didn't see the DUI as a red flag because he owned up to it, knew he was totally in the wrong, and was doing all he was supposed to do to move through and on from it. He continued by saying that he didn't think he could give me his full attention and effort without affecting his well-being and that he needed to focus on getting through this hurdle and continue working on himself. We have had some continued communication and even talked about the possibility of still doing things together, just not at the level and frequency as before. So my question is, could he have an avoidant attachment style and his instinct is to turn inward? Could it be worth continuing the conversation, just going slow and letting him know that I'm interested in navigating this with him if he's in fact interested in dating me? Figuring out where the overwhelm is coming from, if something changes, etc. Obviously with boundaries in place and continuing to take my own pulse on how I feel, if my needs are being met and so on. Okay, this is a tough one. And I honestly, like, I love this person who wrote this question. So thank you for writing in because it sounds like she's very self-aware and she feels like, I love the way she ended it. I love that she said she's keeping her own boundaries in place and continuing to take her own pulse on how she feels, if her needs are being met and so on. So I want to say that, like, it sounds like she's being very intentional with her time and she wants to make sure that she's respecting her needs and her wants and not putting his before hers. But I do get the feeling that like sign off and those last couple sentences where she said that are kind of like her, that's like, she kind of like knows that she's already doing that. She's kind of trying to like convince herself that like, of course I'm going to keep myself and my boundaries and my needs in mind. I think that like, that's the part of her that's saying like, your needs aren't being met by this person. This person isn't meeting your needs. They're not in a place where they can, or they don't want to, whatever it is, you're not getting what you need out of this relationship. And you're hoping that eventually you will, you're wanting to stay. You're basically wondering, is it worth staying in this relationship? Because I see the potential that I could eventually get what I need out of it and get what I want from this person and have a good, healthy, happy relationship with them. Once they work through all their stuff. And if this list of things happened, I see the ability that we could have a great relationship. And I totally, totally understand that because I've been in that scenario too, where like you have this person in front of you and these kind of like pieces, puzzle pieces of a relationship. And you can see which ones are missing. And you're like, it's so clear. Like, oh, it's just like this, 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 and this that we need to figure out. Once we find those, this puzzle is done and this relationship is amazing. That's like not, in my opinion, the best way to get into a relationship. Yeah, there's like a end goal and there's like a, you can see the way it's all going to come together and you feel confident that it might. And if you just like play your cards right and you do it the right way, then it will. No, it's not like I'm telling you it. It's not supposed to be that difficult. There aren't supposed to be that many pieces missing, like especially if both people aren't wanting to find the pieces. So they're not wanting to like get the puzzle together and he's kind of like pulling back a little bit and not really doing his part. I think that it's in your best interest to not move forward with this person. I think that it sucks. It sucks that you were really just getting to know him and that you can feel that he's into you. Like I've been in that scenario too. Like you can, it's not like this guy doesn't like you. It's not like this guy is like trying to walk all over you or he's not interested in you or he's just looking for the next best thing. That's not what I think this is at all. I just think that this isn't the right relationship. I think that as much as he might have made it seem to you like he was owning, and I don't know the backstory about this person, it sounds like he had a DUI and he's like working through that right now. And he might have made it seem like he's like owning up to it and he's doing what he can to move on and that like everything's fine. And so like it didn't make you like question him. The fact that he was driving under the influence, you were like, okay, he's dealing with it and he knows it was wrong. I think he was putting on his best face for you. And like I props to this guy because I'm sure this is a really difficult time for him. But I think there's more to this than he might have let on. And he didn't really share with you like how much he is struggling with this. I don't think that is such an easy thing to move past. And so I think he is like in his defense doing the right thing by recognizing that he has to work through this and figure it out and work on his own like mental health or well-being or however he worded it to work through this. But I think he's just not your person. I think he never was. Like he never was your person and this was never the situation for you. Even if you feel such a strong connection with him, when the timing isn't right, the relationship isn't right. And I fully, fully believe that. I got a question about that too, which I don't think we'll get to today, but I don't believe in like right person, wrong time. Wrong time, wrong person is what I believe in. Like if it's not the right time, then this person and this relationship isn't for you. And again, I totally respect that you kind of like see that he might have an avoidant attachment style or you see that there might be these certain things that you could work on and maybe go slow, let him know that you're interested in like figuring this out with him and then it will work out. But I think it's going to be a really, really tough thing to do. I think that at this point, you just be building like a situationship really based on what he wants and not really honoring at all what you want and kind of just hoping that you'll get it in the future. And I also think that like in my experience, and I'm speaking as somebody who like I was on the avoidant, I had avoidant tendencies. I never like worked with a therapist about being avoidant. So I don't want to say like I was like the far end of avoidant, but I definitely had avoidant tendencies and I've definitely dated avoidant people too. And the only way something can work with an avoidant is if they're saying they want it to work. Like that's literally the one thing that needs to be happening for it to work. They have to be saying they want a relationship with you and they're actively working through their like avoidant tendencies, whether they like understand attachment styles or what, they have to know that they want this to work and they have to be willing to do what it takes to have this relationship work. So I think the more time you spend, like you said, you have talked about maybe you've continued talking to him and talked about the possibility of doing things together, just like on a lower frequency, like that's not a good idea. I think the more time you spend talking and occasionally seeing each other, the more invested you'll get. And he'll just be getting the impression that you're fine with an undefined casual relationship. Because up until now, you could then spend the next 2 months doing this. And then you're like, you bring things up with him and you tell him you want to be in a relationship. And he's like, no, like I told you, I didn't want a relationship. I need to work on myself. And you're like, oh, but you've been doing X, Y, Z. You've been acting like my boyfriend. And then you're kind of like frustrated, but he's like, sorry, like I told you, that's not what I wanted. And so like at this point, you just have to operate based off of the thing that he is saying, which is that he's not in a place to be in a relationship right now. And then think about what you want, which is, it sounds like a relationship, and then kind of accept that those two things are not aligned. So again, it really sucks. And I'm sorry that that happened. And it when you have a connection with someone, it can be really hard. But I think it's in your best interest that this is something that sounds like it's like so close to the thing that you want. The connection is there. And like, it seems like there are a lot of things that you guys have that you really like. If you say no to this, because like, if you like walk away from this, because it's not the fully right thing, that is like leading you so much closer to the fully right thing. And I really, really believe that. So I think you're going to be doing yourself a disservice if you stay in something that's not giving you everything that you want. Okay, so I'll do one more short one because I got this one in like a few different forms. So I got this question, like I got a similar question from multiple people, all with the same sentiment. So I'll just read this one. Lots of first dates, but can't get past them. I always hear there's no spark. How do I change this? Another person who said something similar said that they have a lot of first dates, but they never get past the second or third at most. And what are they doing wrong? What's happening? I think that, and it's funny, I talked to a couple people about this because I had my own theories. And then I was just curious what other people would think. And it all seemed to be like a similar sentiment. So I think, first of all, it's just so, so common. Like people, especially with dating apps where you have like an influx of potential first dates, you're going to go on a lot of first dates that aren't going to lead to second dates if you're like actively dating. And that's not like a failure. Going on a first date that doesn't lead to a second date, it's not a failure. You put yourself out there, you met another person, you got one step closer to the person that you will want to date. And maybe you learned a little bit more about the things that you want and things that you don't want. And you got dating experience. So you'll feel less nervous or less anxious or whatever it is going into your next first date. It takes the pressure off a little bit if you just think about these as experiences and getting to know someone new. So it's not a huge deal if you don't get to the second date. But of course, if this is somebody that you do feel like you had such a great connection with them and you wanted to have a second date with them, and you're just wondering like, why does this keep happening? Why do I keep having this really strong connection and this really like strong urge to see this person again, but then they don't feel a spark or they don't want to go on a second date or a third date? I think there's a few things that it could be, but I think the biggest one is that you might be putting too much energy into these first dates. And I hate saying that because I don't think anybody should play games or play hard to get or act like they don't like somebody as much as they do. But I do think that if you are putting a lot of energy into these first dates, it could be making you like build the person up in your head or just like feel a connection that might not necessarily be there. So if you're going into every first date hoping that this is like the one and hoping that this is somebody that you're going to go on 5, 6, 7, like a ton of dates with and then eventually marry or whatever it is, like you're going to build it up more in your head if you do like them. Whereas if you go on a date and you're just excited to get to know the person and see if you want to get to know them better, you might then find you want to go on a second date, but that's a fun like result of the date that you want to go on another one. It's not going to be so, so built up in your head. And I think the other person can kind of like feel that from somebody. So I've been, just to give like an example of myself, I've definitely been on first dates with people before where I feel like they're like, and again, I hate saying this, but like, I feel like they're like too into it or they're putting like too much on it. And that can be a big turnoff for me. And I don't want the person to act like they don't like me, like not at all. That's a huge turnoff as well. But if somebody like leaves the date and they've already told me like how much they like me and they're like so excited to see me again, and they're like really putting, it seems like all their eggs into this basket and like putting like so much weight on it, I kind of have like, I'm just like skeptical about it. I'm kind of like, did they just really, really want a girlfriend or a partner or whatever it is? Like, it doesn't seem like they even know me that well. Like, they didn't even ask me that many questions. They just seemed like they were like really just trying to get to date too. So if your goal in your head is to get a second date or a third date instead of just getting to know this person better, they might be able to feel that. And they might feel like you didn't ask them a lot of questions or you didn't really take the time to get to know them or whatever it is. I think that it can be really apparent that this person is really just like really wanting a relationship. And then I personally in the past, I haven't wanted to date that person because it just feels like, do they even like me or like know me or want to date me? Or do they just want to date somebody? And then it's kind of like, I'm not really like feeling it. So that could be one thing. And that was what a couple of people said to me, that they've gotten that feeling as well on dates. Another thing is just that you might be going out with like the wrong type of person. And so if this is something to really consider, if you do find yourself like having a type. So this one person that asked and said that the other person always says that there's never a spark. That's just like an interesting thing, because I think that there are a lot of people today who do know and think that like you don't have to have this crazy spark to go on a second date. So if you're hearing that same feedback from a lot of people, you might be going out with the type of person who's like really looking for like a fireworks, sparks flying situation. Whereas maybe you should like switch it up a little bit and maybe go out with somebody who's not in your typical type and see how that feels. And you don't have to go into it again thinking that this is going to then result in a relationship, but go into it just like as kind of like, not to use somebody as practice, but think of it as like practice. Like an experiment. I'm going to go out with somebody who doesn't look like the person I'm typically interested in, or like has different interests than the person I usually go after, and see how it feels. And you might be surprised. You might feel more chemistry with them, or you might feel more comfortable with them. or you might just like have a good time and then want to go on a second date to get to know them better. And they might want to also. So I think it kind of like just speaks to the opportunity to kind of expanding your pool and expanding your type and seeing if there's a different type of person out there for you. And then I wouldn't be me if I didn't answer this question by saying, think about what you're doing on the dates and the questions that you're asking and the conversations that you're having. So a first date doesn't have to be like a big to-do. I've talked about this a lot. You can go for drinks, you can go for a walk, you can go for coffee, you can go for ice cream. Whatever you do, the biggest thing is to have a good conversation. Like any date, the person who leaves it, if they're looking for a relationship and they're like a down-to-earth normal person, they're not going to be thinking about the place that they went. Like, yeah, that could be a cool bonus if it was like a super, super cool place, but they're not going to be thinking about like how much money you spent on their drink or like the place that you went or the neighborhood it was in or like the vibe that the bar had or whatever it was, like what you were wearing. They're going to be thinking about how they felt when they were on the date and how they felt about you and what you were like. And if you were cool. And if you are someone they want to, again, continue getting to know. So like the biggest thing you can do and like the best skill that you can have for dating is conversation and listening. Learning how to have a good conversation, start a good conversation, carry a conversation, be okay with like some awkward pauses, and then keep the conversation going. Learning how to listen to somebody actively, eye contact, all of those things are going to help you so much on dates. It's going to help you feel more comfortable. It's going to help you have more fun. Like you're going to have a more enjoyable time. So even if it doesn't result in a second date, it's not going to feel like a waste because it's going to be, that was a fun night. I got to know somebody cool. I had a fun time. I had an interesting conversation, whatever it is. But it's also going to really improve your chances of getting another date. So like there's a reason that I post all these questions to ask and all these tips for conversations. And it's because people feel good when somebody asks them questions about themselves. People feel good talking about themselves. People feel good in a conversation with somebody new. Like there's other research that shows that like the majority of people that go into a conversation go into it assuming that the other person is going to find them boring and that they're going to find the other person interesting, which is like so funny to me. But all it shows is that like we all find each other a lot more interesting than we think that people find us. So going into the date with a few topics you want to talk about or just like a few good tips on how to have a good conversation is going to help you so, so much. So I do have a few posts on conversation starters and how to have better conversations on dates, and I can link them in the show notes. But like I said, some of them are having questions in your head, so you don't have to interrogate them or frame it like a job interview. But I do think that you should have a few questions in your head that you kind of like can surface if there's a silence or that you want to learn about that person. Just act natural and have fun and be yourself, of course. And then the act of listening is so important. So pay attention, like give the verbal and nonverbal cues when they're speaking and give them eye contact. Really focus on what they're saying. Don't focus on the next thing you're going to say or worry about the next thing you're going to say or worry about like what they're thinking about you. Literally just like listen to what they're saying. And once they finish, repeat part of it back to them and like show that you were listening and really turn that into a conversation. And stay away from simple like yes or no questions. So try to keep the conversation open-ended. Ask them more interesting questions that are going to lead to more interesting conversations. Be okay when there are moments of silence. So that's totally, totally normal. Like you don't know this person at all. So it's normal that you guys don't know how the conversation might flow between you two, or you might have different communication styles, or there might be a little pause where you don't know what to say. Some topics that you bring up are going to hit and you might like really go down a rabbit hole. Try to latch onto those topics, but don't freak out if there's a topic that you bring up that kind of is like, it does become kind of like a one word answer. It doesn't lead to much. Just move on to the next thing. And then the last thing is when you're having a conversation with them, don't try to impress them. So they're on the date, they're already interested in you. Just be present in the conversation and focus on getting to know them better and really just let the real you come out. So a lot of it comes down to like knowing yourself really well. So how well do you know yourself? What are the things that like make you excited to talk about? And how can you make that shine through on a date? Is so important. So I think all those things would be really helpful to just have more successful first dates and more fun first dates. So again, I'll link some of those posts in the show notes and let me know how your next first date goes. I think that you'll have a lot more second dates if you're just looking at the first date as like a fun, lighthearted way of getting to know somebody better. And then, like I said, maybe try expanding your pool to different types of people. Okay, so I just looked down and realized that we are at time, and I had so many more questions I wanted to answer, but I will get to those either next week or the following week, depending on when the next solo episode is. But thank you so much for listening. I am so happy to have you guys all here. If you are enjoying the podcast, please, please leave me a rating and a review. It helps so much to spread the word about the podcast to other people. And if you don't already, definitely come join the Mostly Balanced, maybe soon to be Mostly Dating community on Instagram. The handle is at Mostly Balanced Podcast. And if you have a question you want to ask, you can send it to hello@wearemostlybalanced.com. Thank you so much for listening.